Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello?
Darlene?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hi, Darlene.
Hello?
My name is Carla. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you good.
Okay, I've got a little I've got my son's headphones on, so I don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually going to be filling in for Wynn today. We're already live. So I'm going to just introduce you right quick, and we'll see what we can do, okay?
Okay.
All right, so just pretend like we're just now starting, okay?
Okay,
Today on the Women of Wisdom show, I am Carla Wynn Hall, and I'm substituting for Wynn Kelly Charles today. And today we're going to be talking to Darlene Brown. Her motto is, you will become exactly what you believe you possess the ability to become. This inspirational speaker is the author of Finding Freedom Through Forgiveness, the F Word, and she's going to be speaking with us today on our program. So her website is divineempowerment.org. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Well, Darlene, since you and I have never met, I guess the table is yours. Just go ahead and tell the listeners what you're up to, what does the F word stand for, and what do you have going on around the world?
Well, thank you so much.
Don't ask my teenage son the F word question.
Yes, of course. Everyone wants to know. Well, first, let me just thank you so much for extending the opportunity to have me on the show to share a bit about myself and what I do under Divine Empowerment, as well as my upcoming book, The F Word. I am a certified personal development coach, and I also do business leadership coaching. I am an inspirational speaker. I am certified to train in several leadership development modules, emotional intelligence, behavioral styles, and I enjoy inspiring other people. I absolutely believe that it is my purpose. It is why I am here in this earth, to connect with other people, to teach them methodologies and techniques that allow them to heal wounds from their past, to be re-energized and restored to the authentic power that they have within them so that they can create and live the life that they deserve to live. That is my work that I do, and I enjoy it, and it's such a fulfilling work. It's what I call my divine assignment. You see, I know and believe that every person that is breathing here on earth is here for a divine purpose, a divine assignment. There is an amazing gift, ability, talent, and skill that each person has, and there is something that they are to accomplish, and only they can do it. No one else can do it. Often people have asked me, well, you're a speaker, and that's a pretty saturated market, and how do you feel about that?
No, it's not.
This is what I say to those people. There is no competition. Every last person is here to fulfill something that only they can, even when you have people with the same skill or the same gift or the same talent, and they may be doing the same work. There are people in this earthly realm that they will not be able to connect to because they are called to only connect to you. And I believe that within my heart. And so because of that, I don't believe in competition. I believe that whatever your destiny is, no one can stop it. No one can block your blessings. No one can prevent you from accomplishing what it is that you are sent here to accomplish. The only person that can do that is you, if you choose not to do it. And as a result of that, as a result of that, this work that I do brings me such joy to be able to connect with people, whether in person, over the phone, over the internet, doing live streams, to be able to just pour into them. I look at it like planting seeds sometimes. I'm planting seeds into someone that someone else may come along and nurture. Sometimes I'm nurturing or watering seeds that have already been planted. Sometimes I'm helping the person to tear down.
Wow, can you
pull up the weeds?
Can you still hear me okay, Darlene?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounded like we were having a bit of a distortion. Now can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me well?
I can. Hello? And everything you said resonates with me so well, because I actually wrote my first book and published it in 2014 called The Paradigm, and it's about how the subconscious mind often holds things that are just not, simply not true or beneficial to you or humanity in any way. So the topic of emotional intelligence is one that I've really become interested in lately, and I just want to ask you a bit about that. What does that entail, the emotional intelligence?
Well, the emotional intelligence is really a component for one to, one, understand that we all have emotions. God gave them to us, so there's no shame in it. You're supposed to feel them, but the basis is really just two. There's fear and love. Every other emotion comes out of that. That's all there is. And so when you begin to understand that those are the two root emotions and everything else comes out of that, when you begin to examine what you feel, you're able to be, well, one, you have to be completely honest with yourself to examine, what is it that I feel? Is this love or is it fear? Because if it is fear, then it's going to bring up all kind of doubt. It's going to bring up all type of resistance. And there are a lot of different things that fall under that that you might feel like would be reasons. But if it's love, there is no fear in love. There is only power in love. There is only belief in love. There is only the unlimited possibility of what you can create. That is what is in love. The intelligence component is when you're thinking with what I call the higher God consciousness. So that's the big T, not the little T. Because the big T is really about, if I understand that I'm here to fulfill a divine assignment, and I know that I was created in love, for a bigger purpose, which is for love, right? Universal love.
Right.
Then I can surrender to that higher God consciousness as to what it is I'm supposed to be doing, being led to what it is that I'm supposed to be doing, and allow it to unfold. And that's very different, because a lot of times what we do is we sit back in the little T, which is built in ego, and we say, I'm supposed to do this. And we go about doing something, but we haven't maybe confirmed that it is in alignment with maybe our divine will or our divine assignment. The way I like to use it when I make it very simple is I say, emotional intelligence is understanding what you feel, owning it, don't dismiss it, don't try to subdue it, own it. If I'm hurt, I'm hurt, right? If I'm sad,
that's right.
I'm
Amen.
Sad, right? There's no shame or guilt in saying that. And so own it, accept it, but then your intellect says, what do I do with this? How do I express it through the physical realm? Because we know that when a person is hurt, right, pain needs an outlet and it expresses in many different ways. So when someone is deeply wounded, deeply hurt, they've been carrying around a wound, and a wound that is not healed, that has not been resolved, we know it shows up in the physical realm. It shows up in different ways. It can show up in a person being extremely controlling, extremely aggressive, volatile, hostile, verbally abrasive, right? It can show up
right.
in them overeating, overspending. I mean, the list goes on, because pain needs an outlet, and the outlet is always going to be in the physicality. But most of the time, we don't understand that it's actually pain or that it's actually hurt. What we say is, I'm angry. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't say you're angry, but we need to understand what's the root, because you're not born out of anger.
Right.
So when you understand the root, we get to the I'm actually hurt. And unfortunately, we live in a society that doesn't allow you to say what you really feel. In fact, if you think about it, most of the time, when little boys fall and hurt, when any of us as children, when we fall and hurt ourselves, what is the first thing we do? We cry, right? Because we're in
right.
pain. And when we cry and we're in pain, some adult will come and they'll do one or two things. If it's the little boy, they'll say, oh, don't cry, be a big boy, right? Maybe even for the little girl,
right.
they'll say, oh, don't cry, be a big girl, which is teaching you to suppress what you really feel, right?
Exactly.
I'm not saying it as a judgment against the adult. I'm just telling you, we all, me included, have experienced that. And so we learn consciously how to subdue what we really feel. And to be a big boy or be a big girl means that I don't own that I'm actually hurt and I don't cry. And if that's what we are conditioned, then when we become adults and people hurt us as they do, we try to subdue that and say, well, you know, that doesn't really bother me. I'm not going to cry.
Always a bad idea.
Yeah,
exactly.
But that's not true. I believe in crying. I believe in releasing your pain. I believe in saying that you're hurt. I believe in expressing what you feel. I just believe in doing it in a way that is productive and not counterproductive. I believe in doing it in such a way that moves towards resolution. That, you know, that's very important, and that's when the intellectual component comes into play. Go ahead.
Okay. I have worked with many coaches and many life enrichment specialists, and I want to applaud you for that, for saying own your emotions, because so many out there are teaching people, adult people, that the emotional element, the victim mentality, these things are bad. But I was a victim of sexual assault and abuse and of verbal abuse and just abuse that you can't imagine. And I did exactly what you just said. I suppressed it in and I just let it sit there for the next 20 years. And then it decided it was stronger than me because I had not dealt with it. So in the middle of the night, I would wake up crying. I would wake up sweating with a panic attack and didn't know how to get out of it. Until I put myself through a process of memory, I just call it memory transmutation, where I would literally let that memory come back in and have awareness of that feeling that I was feeling during the memory, and then I would just change the memory. I would try to change it a little bit while I was in it, almost like it was a dream, like a lucid dream. So, mm-hmm. You know, thank you for that, because you're right. You know, our emotions separate us from other species. We are emotional people.
Mm-hmm. And we matter, and our feelings matter. And so to dismiss them or to subdue them is often like saying that they are irrelevant. Well, that's not true. God didn't create anything that's not relevant. So my feelings matter, your feelings matter. I mean, so then it comes to when I understand what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it, which is another layer, because so often – because we're taught not to own what we feel, we have grown with many hurts that we have subdued or stuffed down. And as we become adults, experiences in our relationships trigger them. So then they show up in a very heightened state. So I'll give you an example. You take a relationship, a couple, and maybe the girlfriend has asked her boyfriend to do something, and he didn't do it, and she's asked him 5 times to do something, and he didn't do it. And then she tells him, you know what, on your way home, can you stop by Wendy's and bring me some chicken nuggets and some fries? When he comes in the house, and he doesn't have the chicken nuggets, he has a chicken sandwich and fries.
Uh-oh.
And she loses it. I can't believe you never get anything right. And he's looking at her like, what is wrong with you? You are crazy. Why are you yelling at me? I mean, okay, it wasn't the chicken nuggets, but you still got a chicken sandwich. Like, it's not a big deal. When the truth is, what is being expressed is not necessarily her disappointment that he didn't bring the chicken nuggets. It's all of those other things that he did not do, that she did not address, that she chose to stuff down. It's all of the things in her past of that what she felt hurt that she never resolved, that was triggered in that moment that came bubbling up and spilling over. Now, I know that may sound like an exaggeration, but it's not. It's the truth. We all, I was that person. I'm no longer that person because I have done the work to resolve and heal, and I work every day in healing. Meaning it's an ongoing thing. Because in relationships, people, it's always, and so because of that, and then I've had some other work done, there isn't a lot of things in me now to be triggered. And I own my feelings, and I speak my truth, and I do it in love. So if you and I are in a relationship of any kind, and I feel that you have offended me, or that you have said something, that my feelings are hurt, I will address it. I won't ignore it. I won't try to make excuses for it. I won't tell myself that it doesn't matter, that it's irrelevant, that, oh, it does. No, I own what I feel, and I address it to resolve. And how I address it is depending upon the relationship. If it's a relationship that really matters, then I will address it with the person. If it's a relationship that is really not that significant, then I can resolve it within myself and make a decision, which is my intellect, on how I will or will not engage that person or persons in further interaction and engagement. Because here's the thing that we know. You have the wonderful power to choose. You are not obligated to participate in anything that does not serve your highest good, that does not feed your highest good. You are not obligated to participate in any relationship that does not feed and serve your highest good. It takes a lot of courage to understand that. Because often,
you know, I needed to hear that tonight, because just last night, late at night, I was having this exact personal dilemma that you have talked about today. And it's ironic that Wynn could not make the call today, because she's usually on these calls, but she had something that came up and that I got to take her place and to talk to you, because I had that exact dilemma. And literally my ego was coming physically in my face and saying, well, you have this obligation and this obligation and this obligation to this person. My heart was going, but it feels bad. You know, it feels bad. I just feel so bad. It literally made me sweat. It felt so bad. So it's those moments that when people become aware that they have that incredible power of choice that you just spoke about, to say, I choose to not feel bad. That's what I choose. I choose the next thing that feels good and not this one that feels bad. So that's, mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's so true. And if we, each person just attempts to practice that every day, they become better at it. Because we will make excuses
right.
for why we will participate in dysfunction. You know that.
Yes, I do.
We will. We will make excuses and we will make reasons for why we will participate in it. And I'm at a point in my life where I understand I don't have to. It is a choice. So that's really, you know, when we start talking about emotional intelligence, I mean, it goes really deep. There's layers to it. And, you know, it's for me, the key is for people to understand what they feel and why they feel it. And when you get to the why they feel it, it usually will take them back, right, into something that they have been holding on to, some pain, some hurt that they have bought forth from either childhood or teenage years or young adult or the past that
right.
they've been holding on to that is unresolved and is easily triggered in present-day activity. And then I also let them see how they are making decisions based on that unresolved pain.
Right. And I want to ask you, tell me a little bit about the Global Women of Peace Foundation, and we'll have about 5 minutes.
Okay. The Global Women of Peace Foundation is an organization in which I was a board member, and it is primary focus is in eradicating genitalia mutilation for women. And as we know, in many
mm-hmm.
other countries, women are not honored, not respected, and let me just say, I don't agree with that, because we are the life birthers. We are what keeps life going, right? Without women,
right.
Where would civilization be? So
ooh,
for anyone
ooh.
Not to honor and respect a woman, the fact that we are nurturing seeds and bringing life forth through us is just a total disgrace to Mother Earth and God's creation. Because it is, we are the ones that you plant the seed in, that we nurture and birth life through. So that's a huge responsibility. So that's what that primary focus of the Global Peace, Women's Peace Foundation is about, to eradicate that, to educate people that this exists, to educate people on the different cultures and how they disrespect or dishonor women, treating them as if they are less than human. And to do that from a place of understanding our value, our worth to humanity, not society, to humanity, because as humans, women are, as I said, the vessels for which life moves through. And that means humanity
right.
continues to exist. And from that perspective, we must all honor and respect that. We must all honor and respect women for that. And
that is outstanding.
It's outstanding work that they do. And they, you know, it's a great organization. You can go Google online and go to the site. They have fundraising. It talks about the different initiatives. But you can imagine in some cultures in other countries where, I mean, just think that a woman's vagina is sewn shut. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. Sewn shut. There is genital mutilation where, you know, it's cut up.
That is awful.
Yes. It's very awful. It's very awful. And, it's some people actually, their culture believes that that is what it, you know, that it is almost like a sin. But it's not. And so.
Well, no, it's not.
Who would have thought, right?
I could talk to you all day.
Well, thank you so much for just giving me the opportunity to share. The F word, Finding Freedom Through Forgiveness. It is my book that will be released shortly, and it is all about understanding that in order to heal your wounds, you must forgive. And if you do not forgive, you will never be free to do anything. You will always be
in
bondage.
When does your book launch?
It'll launch in June. We're supposed to launch this month, but it's delayed due to some other things. So the information will be on my website. And it really shares testimony from my own life, my own journey of healing, and what that looks like, how pain shows up in our lives, and how we must forgive. Forgiveness is the key to healing, and the forgiveness is not for the other person. It is for you. So the F word stands for forgiveness. That's what the F word is all about. It's the one that we often hear people say, oh, I just can't forgive what they did to me. You have no idea.
Oh, but you have to. You have to.
But
you have to.
You have to forgive. You must forgive. If you are to heal, if you are to be free of the pain of any negative experience or deep wound that you have been inflicted upon, you must forgive so that you can heal, so that you can find the freedom. And you cannot find the freedom until you forgive. And you cannot heal without forgiveness. So
what are some steps that our listeners can take to start that process of forgiveness? What is the first thing they need to do to embrace the word, the F word, forgiveness?
Okay, so the first thing is forgive yourself. Because oftentimes most people walk around in guilt and shame, and they feel that somehow they have done something that they are deserving of this behavior. Well, you need to understand that you are worthy and deserving of all the goodness and greatness and love. So forgive yourself. That's the first step. And then forgive the other person. So in forgiving yourself, you might be saying, well, I mean, maybe I'm smart. And you say, well, I should have known better. Or I should have, you know, I knew I shouldn't have talked to that person. Or I knew I shouldn't have done that. And should is nothing but judgment. So don't judge yourself.
Right.
Forgive yourself. Because you are human and you will make mistakes. But here's the thing. I don't look at them as mistakes. They are life lessons. And with every lesson comes a blessing, right? So you learn the lesson so that you can be blessed, because being blessed is actually being more higher in your wisdom and understanding.
Forgive yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
forgive others. The second step.
Okay,
we have about 2 minutes. Okay,
about 60 seconds.
Okay. You do not need always to have dialogue with the other person in order to do the forgiveness.
Correct.
So don't think you got to have a conversation. You make the decision depending upon the kind of relationship that it is.
It feels so good to forgive.
It does.
Thank you for being on the Wisdom Show. We'll connect on Facebook.
So
you and I haven't connected yet.
Yes. Please, let's do that.
Thank you.
And have a blessed week, okay?
You too, sweetheart. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.